2 Timothy now. You've got to, that's the world. That's where we're living at. It's a mess, isn't it? And there's no politician going to straighten it out. You know what the Bible said? The Bible says when they cry peace and safety, you know what happens? Sudden destruction's coming. Do you know what's coming on this world? The wrath of God. Now you mark her down as sure as you're sitting in this pew, there's a day of coming that God's going to speak to this earth in His wrath. You know what He's speaking? He's speaking to this world today in His grace. And God's dealing with all nations today and preaching the gospel and giving them a chance to accept His Son and be a part of the body of Christ. But there's a day when that body is going to fill up. And when that body's full, it's out of here. And then God's going to speak in His wrath. And let me tell you something. You don't want to be here when God speaks in His wrath. Because it's a dark, gloomy day. It's a day when the earth's going to tremble. It's a day when the mountains and the earth is going to move out of the way and the rocks is going to break and there's going to be stars falling from heaven and there's going to be all kinds of torment and all kinds of misery. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, just stick around and stay in your rebellious way and refuse to accept Christ and you'll find out that I'm telling the truth. And you'll say, boy, he told us right, but it's too late. Now look in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the Bible says in chapter 2, he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the Word of God is not bound. Paul suffered for the gospel. Come down to verse 12. If we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. And that has to do with raiment. Now I want to talk to you for a few moments about suffering. Everybody's going to suffer. Look over with me in back in 2 Timothy. Again. Well, I really need to go, down to verse 12. I read that. If we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. Come on down with me in verse 13. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. In other words, if you stop believing, God's not going to deny you because you're in His body. No more than you could deny. And we went through that last week. I want to talk to you. There are two kinds of suffering. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. There is mental suffering. There is physical suffering. I told you 1 Corinthians. I meant 2. I'm sorry. Now, for every positive, there's a what? A negative. Now, I believe in the power of negative thinking. That's the opposite of what the world says. The world talks about think positive. Well, I believe that you got to think negative first before you ever see the positive. Now, when you go and you go out here in your garden, and there's a piece of ground, you look at that ground, you say, well, I'm gonna have me a garden there. I'm going to plant me some tomatoes and I'm going to plant me some beans and some different stuff. What's the first thing you got to do? Huh? Plow? What does a plow do to the ground? It rips it up, doesn't it? It turns it off. That's negative. You tearing that piece of ground up. But you can't have the fruit until you get the negative. There's things there. You can't have the harvest. That's positive. Until you plow the ground, it's broken up, negative. Death before life. That's a paradox. You say, well, that's crazy. You got to die before you can live. A grain, Paul put it like this. He said a bare grain goes, it dies. It's got to die before it produces life. Negative, positive. There's suffering before rain. There's negative, then there's positive. The positive is the reigning with Christ. The suffering is the negative. We go through the negative down here in order to enjoy the positive later up there. And that's what I want you to see. And notice these sufferings now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice what he says there in verse 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but what? Life in you. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying, man, I'm dying here. Get so you can have life. That's what every Christian does in this evil world that we live in, this idolatrous world. We're dying. We're being slaughtered, so to speak, in order to give people a chance to have life. Look in Romans. Hang on to 2 Corinthians and turn back to Romans in chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. Notice what Paul says there. In verse there, he said, verse 35. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written. Now watch it. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Suffering. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Turn to Philippians and look in Philippians. In Philippians and notice in chapter 2. Or 1. Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 27, only let your conversation as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now watch it. And in nothing, terrified by your adversaries. If you preach the gospel that Paul preached, you just rest assured, you teach it, you believe it, you talk it, you're going to have adversaries that's going to oppose you. And he said, in nothing terrified by your adversary, which is to them an evident token of perdition. Perdition is destruction. In other words, if they see you scared, they know they're destroying you. If they see you terrified, they know they got the best of you. And Paul said, in nothing, terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. In other words, folks, if you're truly what you say you are, you're going to suffer. You're going to have adversaries. And so when they come around, that's just a token that you're who you say you are. If the devil ain't bothering you, if you're not having trouble for the gospel's sake, you're not doing nothing for the Lord. You're already destruction in perdition. You see what he said? Having the same verse 30. Verse 29, a token. Verse 29 of Philippians 1, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to what? Suffer for His sake. Look in 2 Timothy. Back in 2 Timothy now. In chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul says in verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. And what persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall" what? "Suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And folks, that's what's happening today. And as long as they're increasing and deceive evil men and seducers, that's religious, idolatrous people. And the world is full, there's churches on every corner, but you stand for the truth of this King James Bible and for the gospel of Paul. They're going to talk about you, they're going to run you down, but that's a good token, that's a good sign that you're what you say you are and that you're doing the work of the Lord. And if you're not suffering persecution for the ministry and for the Lord, then you're not doing nothing. That's where it comes. Now that's one phase of it. We suffer for the truth. And that's a good suffering. There's a lot of people, turn to 1 Peter. A lot of people suffer for this reason. In 1 Peter. So we suffer if we stand for the truth. Good suffering. It's a good token. It's a token from God. The adversaries is after you. You say the Lord likes that? I mean, that's a sure sign of salvation. So I know I'm saved because of what Christ did. That's good. But I tell you one thing, I know I'm doing the work of the Lord because of the adversaries. Now look at it. Look in 1 Peter. Notice in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." And if somebody's running you down for the gospel, you're suffering for wrongfully. I mean, they don't have no right to do that. They're doing it because of what's in them. Now look on. "For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your own fault, ye shall take it patiently. But if ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God." Okay, folks, you know what? Another kind, there's people that make wrong decisions in their life and they do wrong and they suffer for it. That's not good. That's not good suffering. That's suffering for your own faults. And you suffer for them faults. You don't need to blame God. That was your decision. You make a decision, I'm going to drive 100 miles from an hour down 21 from here to Harmony, and you run off the road, and you hit a tree, and you tear your vehicle up, and you end up in the hospital or dead or whatever, and you say, "I've been persecuted for Christ." No, no, no. You're being persecuted for your stupidity. Do you see the difference? People there are called different things, persecution. I mean, we live in the day-to-day where the Christians are so, I mean, they're so spineless, man, they get a hangnail. They think they're suffering for Jesus. Not that. Then there's suffering. There's mental suffering. Turn back to and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again. In 2 Corinthians, I said 4, I meant 11. I'll get it right in a minute. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That's a good one. We'll go start there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So there's people that suffer for the gospel, suffer persecution by the adversaries for the gospel. There's people that are suffering today because they made the wrong decisions. They chose to do something. It was their fault. They chose to do something. Turned out bad. Wasn't the Lord didn't have to do it. The world today chose to turn their back on God. Now they're suffering for it. But that ain't God's doing it. Amen? I mean, you know, you go down to the side of the ocean down there and on the east coast down there and you build a big old two-story house and they tell you, hey, take the chance. What kind of a chance? Well, every once in a while there's a hurricane come up through there. And you build that house and sure enough, one day you get up and hurricane coming and boom, it just flattened your house. Oh God, why did you do that? God never done it. He didn't tell you to build down there. Choices. A lot of our choices that we make causes us to suffer. Now, I see people, you know, we choose certain lifestyles, and because of those lifestyles, it brings suffering. It's not God. And this world, why did God let that happen? He didn't. Most of the time, it's the choice of people to rebel against God. Now look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There's physical sufferings. Notice Paul went through and he said, verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, stripes more above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watching often, in hunger and thirst and fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Folks, that's physical suffering. And we're going to suffer like that. And we're going to have physical sufferings. Because we live in a physical world. And we have a body of sin. And sin is in there. And the wages of sin is death. And we came into this world dying. And someday we're going to die, every one of us. And every one of us somewhere, sometime, is going to suffer physically. Many of us will suffer, like I said, for our own mistakes. A lot of us suffers for the cause of Christ. But I've never suffered like this. I've never been beat. I've never been like that. And I only Paul. But notice in verse 28, there's another kind of suffering. He said, besides those things that are without, the physical, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. That's mental. That's being burdened about other people. And a lot of times we suffer when we see other people in the mess that they're in and we see the problems and we feel helpless and we begin to suffer. And that's what God would expect out of the members of the body of Christ. The Bible says where one member suffers, all the members should suffer. If you see another member of the body of Christ suffering physically or whatever the suffering might be, it should break your heart till you cry and begin to talk to the Lord about that member of the body of Christ. And if you're not that concerned about one another, there's something wrong with you. Suffering. There's physical suffering. There's mental suffering. You want to see some of the... Notice in verse there, let's just turn. And I want you to turn a good suffering. I'll give you an example. Go back to 1 Samuel. And I'm about done. But 1 Samuel. And I want to give you some examples of mental suffering. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Most of you know about this lady. Her name's Hannah. And she was a great woman. Hannah, notice in verse 6, she says, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret. Isn't that something? Because the Lord had shut up her womb. You know what she did? Well, let's go over and look in verse 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept. Do you know why? Do you know why Hannah was grieved? Because of the adversary. The Lord hadn't given her no child. And she was wanting, that was one thing that she wanted, was a son for the Lord. And Hannah hadn't yet. And this adversary, no doubt in my mind, said, see there, the Lord don't love you as much as He loves me. You see there, Hannah? You trust God, but God don't care about you. If He cared about you, He'd give you a son. How many Christians suffer mentally and fret and are bitterness of soul because the adversary puts them down and makes them think that God is not concerned about their life, or not concerned about what they're doing, or not concerned about who they are. Let me tell you something. Whatever affects you, the Lord's concerned about it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, He says, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Do you know what that word blessed is? It's eulogy. You know what eulogize? You speak well of. You eulogize them. You say good things about them. Do you know what the Lord God the Father does? You know what He says about you? He says good things about you. He eulogizes you in the presence of the adversary. Thank God, folks. God Almighty sees us in Christ. He doesn't see us the way that we are or the way that we were. He sees us for what we're going to be in glory. And the sufferings. And the sufferings. He told the story of the pearl, you know, the little pearl that's in the oyster. How a pearl is formed, and it causes so much pain to the oyster, and the oyster secretes its saliva around that little grain of sand that's irritating it, and he makes it so smooth to get away from that pain and soreness. And there's the pearl. I want to tell you something. God Almighty today, a lot of us is going to be pearls someday out there in glory. And we're suffering down here, and we've gone through a lot. But you rest assured, the Lord's not been blind to it. Suffering. Hannah suffered because of the adversaries. Notice another thing. Turn to Job. Look in Job chapter. Everybody knows about the sufferings of Job. But have you ever read the last part of Job? In Job 42, notice what it says there. And that goes back to the time we talked about God will do right. It looks like everything might be coming around you. But I want to tell you something. God, He's still on the throne in your life. Look in Job chapter 42. The Bible says in Job 42, notice in verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And He tells the numbers of his children. I mean, God Almighty stripped Job, took him down to nothing, and the man sat in a ash pit and scraped the boils that was on him from head to his feet to the top of his head. And he lost his children, he lost his farms, he lost his cattle, he lost everything, and he sat there with nothing. And he said, I come into this world naked and I'll go out naked, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And the latter end, God did right by Job. He blessed him more than he had. Then I want you to see another thing. Adversaries. He always tries to hinder the work of the Lord. Turn with me to Ezra. Look in Ezra. We're going to suffer. Now the Bible says in Ezra, if I ever get there. Alright, in Ezra chapter 4. Notice what he says. Let me read verse 1. Ezra 4, chapter 1, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel. Notice in verse 4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia. They frustrated them. They, just like Hannah, that's the way the day that we suffer as Christians. It's a mental thing. It's getting frustrated. It's fretting. It's people. It's the spirits in these people that causes them to belittle us and makes us feel that God is not helping us or God is not listening to us or God doesn't love us no more. And all the while, it's the adversary. You know why? They're wanting to weaken the hand so you won't do the work of the Lord. You'll see, turn over with me to the next book there in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 4. Notice in Nehemiah chapter 4. Now I want to tell you, Satan's always has, he always will, he have somebody to try to hinder the work of the Lord. The Bible said in verse 7, but it came to pass that when Sembalat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites and heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight and against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch for them. Do you know why sometimes we are allowed suffering? Because they prayed. You know when we get closer to the Lord? When we're suffering. Now I'm going to give you one other verse. I have many, but I'm going to close with this verse. And I want you to turn with me back to 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles, in chapter 12, why we suffer? Well, we suffer because of the gospel. People in our day, they don't like it. And if you stand for it, you're going to suffer for it. We suffer because sometimes we make wrong decisions in our life. And those decisions bring sufferings to us. We suffer because there's an adversary out there and he's always wanting to belittle us. And they causes bad things to happen. And we suffer because of pride. There really had two things, and we suffer to keep from having pride. And I'm going to show you this. But before I do that, Paul was caught up into the third heaven and had revelation. And he said, because of the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted above measure. A lot of times we suffer because if we're not suffering, we get the big head. And we think we're better, or we got more, and boy, And we think we're better than somebody else. And God Almighty just sort of like Jacob, He touches the hollow of our thigh so we limp the rest of our days. To let us know, you know, He's the one. So we suffer for various reasons, but here's one. Notice in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 12. The Bible said in verse 1, it said, "And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established a kingdom and had strengthened himself, he what? He forsook the law of the Lord and all of Israel with him." The Bible says in verse 6, "Whereupon the princes of Israel and their and the king humbled themselves, and they said, 'The Lord is righteous.' And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shammah, saying, 'They have humbled themselves.'" In other words, they got it lifted up. When everything was going right and the kingdom was established, the first thing, forsake the Lord. Isn't that fascinating how some people, I mean, they got all the bills paid, they got everything, and everything's running smooth. They get cold on the Lord, they forget about the Lord, and it was the Lord that gave them all of that, and they turn their back on the Lord, and before you know it, trouble hits, and then they're back on their knees saying, "God, why?" That's one of the reasons. Why are you there and noticing... Verse 12, "And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord was turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether." Turn over to, look in 26, in 2 Chronicles 26. In 2 Chronicles 26, Uzziah, man, he got lifted up. In 2 Chronicles 26, notice in let's read verse 4. "And he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord." This is Uzziah. "He did that which is right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amasa did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." So he begins to prosper. Come over and look in verse 15. "And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by a cunning man to be on the towers, upon the bulwarks, and to shoot arrows and great stones without. And his name spread afar abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong." And when he got strong... But when he was strong, what happened? His heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord God with and went into the temple and tried to burn incense. The point is, he got strong, forgot the Lord. Jesus Christ, Revelation said, he said, "You're increased with goods and have need of nothing," and all this, and he says, "You're wretched, you're poor, you're miserable." On and on the thing goes. Why does people, when they have it all, when everything's going smooth, instead of thanking God and praising God, they get to trusting in themselves instead of the Lord, and boom, down they go. And they say, "Lord, why did this happen to me?" Turned you back on the Lord. He's got a record. Well, shake hands with one another and you can go.